Illinois. They say that George Washington died as a result of it. He lost too much blood. He wasn't able to fight pneumonia.
You see, well, I've encountered Vietnamese students who would come in sometimes and they would have little scars. And even today, they're using
so
that.
So you think that may be...
It's still used. Yeah, it's no question. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's their way of doing it. And so they still do let blood as part of certain treatments.
Yeah.
Even today.
Okay. Now, he says, Ufuwasfa emes, he says, your refua, O God, is the true refua. Why? Says, because it is not really in the power of human beings to bring about a full recovery, but this is the custom. The custom is that you go to a doctor in order to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, as you can see over here, the feeling that he expresses is more or less, you know, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the Rofei Cholam, right? He is the healer of the sick. And even as, you know, the Pasuk says, Ki ani ad Hashem Rofecha, because I, the Lord your God, am your healer, he would seem to be advocating, you know, that in the final analysis, don't have too much faith in doctors. But nevertheless, we'll see right now that the Gemara feels that this is the wrong advice.
Mm.
Not the prayer for, you know, for healing, but the idea that, you know, to poo-poo the human element in healing. And this is what we say, Omar Abaye.
Not to say, just depend on God alone.
Yeah. So Abaye said, Lo lemay nishachi. He says, a person should not say this. The Tani, because we have a teaching, the Vei Rabbi Yishmael, of the school of Rabbi Yishmael, that the Pasuk Verapo Yerape, this is in Parsha Mishpatim. If you remember over there, if a person hits another one, right, he injures him and so on, he has to pay for the healing, he has to pay for the time that that person is out of work, and so on and so forth, right? And of course, you know, the Gemara goes into a great detail subsequently, you know, about the different types of liability that you have if you injure somebody. Under what circumstances, what are you, what do you have to pay, and so on, you know, what expenses, etc. So, the Pasuk says, Verapo Yerape, in other words, that he has to be healed, okay? So, Mekan, from this, says that the Vei Rabbi Yishmael, and this is a statement that we find repeated in other places in Gemara, Mekan Shanit the Rishus the Rofe Lerapos. From here, we derive the fact that a doctor has the permission of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to heal. In other words, granted that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the ultimate healer of the sick, but nevertheless he has given doctors the wisdom and the power, the permission to heal human beings. And it's not being sacrilegious, in other words, to go to a doctor for medical advice. So I don't have to tell you, I mean, that as far as Jewish tradition is concerned, the weight of Jewish tradition has been always, I mean, that person should not rely simply upon miracles. You have to go, and you know, if you're sick, you have to go to a doctor, you have to go to a hospital, you have to take medication and things like that. And, you know, not simply adopt, let's say, a Christian Science Kasper Shalom attitude. By the way, there's also a Jewish Science, I don't know where. There was a Reform rabbi by the name of Mendelssohn, if I remember correctly, who maybe about 50, 60 years ago, or was it Levy, I forget. I have the book held somewhere or other. It's wandering among the thousands of books.
Probably
that I have.
He's not alive anymore.
Oh, no, he's not alive anymore.
Well,
he had a Jewish Science, you know, on the basis of Christian Science.
Yeah.
Felt as pastish for a Jew, so he created Jewish Science.
Yeah.
Lichtenstein was his name, right? Because his wife was the Hilda Lichtenstein.
Oh.
After he passed out of the picture, she carried on. She ran a congregation. Kikai, when you get better, my omen, and what bracha should you say after you get better, after you get healed? Omer, he has to say the following bracha. So Omar Rav Acha says that the following is the nusach. It is Boruch Rofe Chinam. Blessed be God who heals us freely. Now, of course, we have to understand what does the word chinam mean. I mean, because this by itself could be understood. You know, if I would say, for example, in Parsha Mishpatim, since I mentioned before that the Eved Ivri, he has to serve for 6 years, right? And then what happens after that? Yotza chinam ein kasev, right? That he has to go out without having to pay. So there we see that chinam ein kasev is, you know, they are sort of equated, right? That they mean freely without having to pay any money. So the point is then that the Rabbeinu Shalom, you don't have to pay him any money for healing. So maybe that's what it means. But as a matter of fact, we use the word chinam also in many of our prayers in a different way. We pray to God that, you know, he should be. After all, what does the word chinam come from? It comes from the word chen, graciousness, right? It's related to the word chanun. You understand? These are all similar words. They're cognate words, as we would say. Okay? So that actually, rofei chinam means that God, in his graciousness, heals us. And frankly, I like that better than simply the idea, you know, that the Rabbeinu Shlomo doesn't have to take any money for a healing.
In the same way, there'd be a relationship between the word gratis and gracious, presumably.
Yeah, correct. I mean, the word gratis and not is related to the word gratia, which means grace or thanks or something
in
like
Yiddish,
that.
In Yiddish,
right?
Does it mean umzist? Would that be right?
Yeah, umzist, right. This is in the first sense, as I said. Umzist, right. But umzist also could be understood in the sense that we don't deserve it, but the Rebbeinu Shalom is doing it for us anyway, because he is a gracious God. Okay? Alright, so this was Abaye's lesson. You know what to say. Alright, so that's fine. So far we've been talking about what you have to say when you go into a place of danger, such as a big city, right? A hot bathhouse, which might crumble underneath. You're going to have bloodletting, and so on. How about going to the bathroom? This is what we continue with now.
This is another base now.
Right, other base. Anichdos the base hakise. What happens when a person is about to enter the base hakise? He's going to go into the toilet. Of course, you have to remember that the toilets in those days, they were not the toilets that we have.
Outhouses.
The base hakise. Right, they were outhouses, exactly. Okay?
Way out.
So, as you enter, or as you're about to enter, this is really what it means on Nicholas, as you're about to enter the Beis HaKisei Omer, then he says the following. He says, Hiskavdu mechubodim kedoshim b'shosei adam. Be you honored, he says, O ye honorable, holy beings, you who serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Tenu kavod elohei Yisrael. Give glory unto the God of Israel. Harpu mimeni, and give me permission to leave for a moment, until I can go in there, Seret Soni, and I have, and I am able to do what I have to do, literally to do my will. The Ovo Alechem, and then I'll come back to you. So, in other words, he's telling the angel, of course, what is the idea over here? The answer is, you know, remember in Tilim, we have a pasuk which says, Kima locha vitzavet loch, right? For God will command his angels, l'shmorcha b'chol drachecha, that they should watch over you in all your ways, or whatever you do. So that the idea is then that every person has angels who are appointed by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to look out for his welfare. You understand? We all have, so to speak, like guardian angels, okay? Now, if we have guardian angels, but it's possible that the guardian angels should come into the bathhouse, I mean into the toilet, it's possible. So that, therefore, we say, wait a moment, and I'll come back again, and you'll take care of it, okay? Omer Abaye, so Abaye again, he doesn't like that. He says, Loi lema inishofi. Says, don't say this kind of a prayer. Why? Dil mishapkele, because they're liable to leave him they answer and they go on. In other words, you say to them, hey, wait for me, but how do you know that the guardian angels feel like staying around and waiting for you?
They'll go away.
And if they take off, then the spot follows. So don't say such a prayer. Again, it's like al tiftach peh, you know. Don't open your mouth and say something that you would have reason to regret.
Right.
Okay? Elo leimo. But rather, this is what you should say. You should say, Shimruni, Shimruni. Watch over me, watch over me. Is Runi. Help me, help me. Simchuni, Simchuni. Support me, support me. Hamtinuli, Hamtinuli. Wait for me, wait for me. Ache Koneis Veitse. Until I can go in and then come back again, go out again. Why? Shekein Darkoch Abnei Odom. Because this, in the final analysis, is the way of human beings. I mean, angels don't have to use bathrooms, but human beings do. And after all, if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you know, made us in such a way that we have to use a bathroom, then in that case, angels, remember that you have a mission. That mission is help us, give us support, and wait for me, because I'm only fulfilling the will of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in that he created me in order to do this. This is the process of elimination that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave.
But isn't things like urine and feces tumei?
They're not tumei, but they're unclean.
Yeah, we've done at the beginning.
Right,
we had
several months ago. I mean, we had, you know, that when you make, you know, you shouldn't be reciting Shema or Brachas in the place, you know, where the urine is there, unless the urine is already seeped into the ground and it's no longer recognizable.
Yeah, remember.
And certainly where there is, if there's any excrement over there, then you have to move at least 6 feet away, and preferably with your back to it so that you don't see it, you know, if you have no other place where to say it.
Same place.
Yeah.
Are we in a territory where Rabbi Rubenstein put up that
sign
in the washroom?
Okay.
When you walk out,
the story
you go
with
out.
The washroom is as follows. Right. As long as the door is closed, leading into the place, you know, where we have actually, you know, the toilet stalls and the urinals, then in that case you can do it. If the door is open, you shouldn't say the problem. But if the door is closed, then you're in a separate chamber, and then it's permitted to say it in that chamber. Or you can do what other people do.
You mean
that is, they go out into the hall. Once you're out in the hall, out of the entire bathroom area, then you make
it. You mean
the
Asher Yotzar?
Asher Yotzar, which is what we're going to have right now. Kinofik, this is, it says, and when he goes out of the Beis HaKiseh, Omer, then what does he say? The answer is Boruch, right? Of course, Boruch HaTor Hashem and Kinofik Elom, right? Asher Yotzar is Odom HaChokmah. We praise God who created man in wisdom. Ovoravon Nekovim Nekovim Chalolim Chalolim. Actually, in our Seder it says Chalulim Chalulim, but it's
Chalulim,
right?
Yeah.
He created in him all kinds of holes, literally, or orifices, if you wish, right? Chalulim Chalulim, these are all kinds of like tubes and everything else, right? Golui v'yadua l'fnei chisei chvedecho. It is revealed and known before the throne of your glory. She'im yipaseach echad mehem, or yisoseim echad mehem, that if either one of them is open or one of them is closed, right, in other words, one of these tubes, or right, if it is closed when it should be open or open when it's closed, then in that case, what? It is impossible to stand before you. In other words, we cannot exist. We need it in order to be able to function correctly. My chosim, and then what conclusion do you make to the bracha? Because as you can see, they weren't sure. All right, good. Does the bracha end at this point, or do we have to have a chasima, in other words, a conclusion to the bracha? And if we do, as he says, then in that particular case, what should he say? So Omar Rav said, praise God by concluding Baruch HaTor Hashem, Rofei Cholim, the healer of the sick. So Omar Shmuel, said to him, hey, Ko Shavinhu Abba, he says, you know, you Abba, by the way, Rav had, his real name was Abba Arika, which means Abba the Tall. Abba was his first name, okay?
Abba the what?
Arika. Arika means tall. Aroch. In Aramaic, Arika. In this case, it means long or tall. Okay?
Tall, tall.
Right. So that was really the name and the nickname that he had. However, because he was such a great scholar and he founded such a great yeshiva in Surah, so in that particular case, he became known as Rav. In other words, like the Rebbe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you know, the Rabbi Soloveitchik, who passed away recently.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever had him in the Yeshiva University, still to this day, refers to him as the Rav,
mm-hmm.
you see. So he says to him, Abba, he says, you know what you've done? You've made everybody into sick people, because he says, you say the bracha should conclude Baruch, what? Rofi Cholim, right?
Mm-hmm.
The healer of the sick. In other words, if each and every one of us makes the bracha, means that we're all sick. This is what you're saying. Ella, but rather, what the bracha should conclude is Rofi Kol Basar. We praise God who heals all flesh. Rav Sheshes Omar, Rav Sheshes says that the bracha should end Mafli La'asos. God does wondrous deeds, okay? Mm-hmm. So Rav Papa says, Hilkoch, if that's the case, let's say them both. In other words, let's conclude Baruch HaTod Hashem, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Rofe Kol Bosor, the healer of all flesh, Umafli La'asos, and who performs all kinds of wondrous deeds. And of course, needless to say, this is how we concluded to this day, okay? Hadichtas lishon al mitoso, and if you enter to go to sleep on your bed, literally, you notice that all these phrases over here begin with the word hadichtas itself, right? Person who enters to do this, that, and the other. So here's another case. This time, it's to enter, I guess, the bedroom in order to go to sleep on your bed, right? So, what should we say? Omer, so he says, Mishma Yisrael, from Shema Yisrael ad v'hoyim Shemoa. In other words, you say the first paragraph of the Shema Yisrael. Okay, of course, this is what we call the Krishma Al Hamid, right?
Al Hamid,
right? The Krishma that we recite on the bed, literally. Okay, so you say first, then from Shema Yisrael up to v'hoyim Shemoa. The Omer, and then he says, Baruch Hamapil Chevle Shedu Aleinai, right? Blessed be God, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem Lekin Mokilom, right? Hamapil Chevle Shedu Aleinai, who causes the bonds of sleep to fall upon my eyes, Usnumal Apapai, and slumber upon my eyelids, who may yearly Yishon Basoyan, and who gives light, literally, to the apple of my eye. In other words, God gives light unto us. He gives us the ability to see. Yehira tzom milfanecho ad Hashem alakai. May it be thy will, O Lord my God, shetashkiveni l'shalom, right, that you will enable me to lie down in peace, and grant me my portion in your Torah, v'sagileni l'idei mitzvah, and enable me to become accustomed to perform mitzvahs, the altar gedin of the avera, and do not let me get into the habit of performing averas, the altar v'yeni l'idei chayt, and do not bring me either into sin, v'lo l'idei ovein, nor into transgression, v'lo l'idei nesoyin, nor should you bring me into any kind of a dangerous situation. The soya means, you know, temptation, into any kind of a dangerous temptation. Below the David Zoyan, nor bring me into contempt. The Yishlod be Yetzer HaTov, and let my good impulse reign over me. The Yishlod be Yetzer HaRa, and let not my evil impulse have dominion over me. And may you save me from any kind of an evil affliction, and from any evil illnesses. V'yayiva aluni chalomos roim harorim, and let not evil dreams or evil thoughts frighten me. Usahei mitosi shleimu lefanecho, and may my bed literally be whole before you. In other words, may I not soil my bed before you, may I not do anything unworthy in bed in your presence, right? V'hoeri nai penishan amovitz, and enlighten my eyes so that I do not sleep the sleep of death. Baruch ato ad Hashem, blessed art thou, Lord, ha-meir le'olam kulo b'kvodo, who brings light to the entire world in His glory.
That's the first paragraph of the Shema.
Yeah, except that some of this part, I mean, this is longer, you notice, than what we actually say. But a part that we have in the middle over here actually forms part of the morning prayer that we say after the Birchas HaShachar. Take a look again, you know, the paragraph that follows, you know, Amavishem Yeno is applied, right? When in the morning when we say we praise God who removes sleep, right? And he was such a taglane, so served up, came, etc., etc. And you see that the wording is quite similar to what we have over here. Okay? So actually, the wording over here gives rise to two brachas. One, the bracha that we say at night, and the other one, the bracha that we say in the morning. King Messiah, and when he wakes up, Omer, he says the following bracha: Elohai, O God, my God, the soul which you gave unto me is pure. Ato yitzarto, you created it to be within me. Ato nefachta bi, you literally blew the spirit of life into me. Yato mishamra bikibi, and you preserve it within me. Yato asidit lo mimeni, and you will someday take it back from me. L'achazira bi, but give it back to me. L'osid lovo, in the future. In other words, in the world to come. Kol zaman shanashamra bikibi, as long as my soul is within me, modani lefanecho ad Hashem elokai v'lekei v'asai, I give thanks unto you, Lord my God, God of my fathers, ribon kol ha'olamim, God who is the Lord of all the universe, adon kol ha'neshamos, the Lord of all living souls, baruch ato ad Hashem, blessed art thou, Lord, ha'machazir neshamos l'fgarim meisim, you who restore the souls to the dead bodies.
This is said in the morning.
Yes, exactly. This is, of course, what we say just before the, you know, Shana San Sepivino and so on. This is the prophet that we say.
This word called the man, isn't that used in Yiddish too?
Yeah, of course. It's long as, right, exactly. Sure, absolutely.
Called the man.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do a couple of more lines and then we'll stop, okay? Because we'll see over here now.
What is that mark there?
I have no idea. Somebody put in a mark in my book also. I have
in my book also.
I guess the printer decided to put it in.
That's where we should stop.
Yeah.
Right. Whoever edited this, I guess, decided to put it in, because at this point, now that we started on morning brachas again, so now he has specifically the reference to what we call the Birchas HaShachar. I'll take the first one so you see why the nusach of it, and then we'll continue next week in Yetzah Hashem. Okay? Kishoma kol tarnegolo, when you hear the sound of the rooster, Lemo, then you should say at that time the bracha Baruch Hashem Asal Nasechi Vino LaHakim BeYimah BeNoil. We praise God who has given the rooster understanding, the knowledge to be able to distinguish between day and night. Okay, and then he Posachene, when he opens his eyes, Lemo, he says Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. You know, Baruch Ator Hashem Kedem Echidon Pokeach Ivrim, right? Who opens the eyes of the blind and so on. All right, we'll continue from here next week in Yetzah Hashem, and as you can see, we're heading down the home stretch.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground tonight.
Yeah.
All right, so we're on Ahmed Bey's.
Right.
Ahmed Bey's,
about 2:30. So let's take a look at the third Tospos on the page over there.
Which one? The third one.
I'll tell you what. Let's do. We'll stop with the second one, the second Tosfos. I'll tell you why. Because remember the bracha that we say, you know, the Asher Yotzar. So we conclude, you know, Mafli Lassos, that the Rabbeinu Shalom knows all kinds of wonderful things. Okay. So there, the Tosfos points out what is the wonderful thing. So he says, Mishum Na Minun. The voracious hoven ki godol atovis in the flows how to think whatever. You are great and you do all kinds of wonderful things. You are God alone. So odemos and node, and this is the example that he brings over here in Tosfos. Rashi hinted at it, but he brings it over here in Tosfos. Says odemos and node. If a man makes a wineskin, all right, you know, in those days they used skins in order to hold the wine. Right? I mean, he went on the trip. Naturally, he wasn't going to go schlepping a barrel of wine with you. So they had instead what they called a node. And the node is a wineskin.
Still use those in Spain today.
Yeah, they do. You're right. Okay, I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures of it, you know, like in the travelogues or something. All right. So he says, on a moist node, if a person makes a wineskin, I feel the yeshbo nekev echod. So he says, even if there is only a small hole, which is about the size of a pin prick, machat is a needle, all right? So let's say a needle prick or a pin prick, which is, you know, our English expression. He says, haruach yotzev in the yochel ishmar bo, right? The in the yochel ishmar bo yan. He says, then the wind goes out of it, right? In other words, it loses its ability, loses the air inside, and then can no longer preserve the wine that has been placed in it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Bara nekavim nekavim bo'adam, he created us as human beings with all kinds of different holes or orifices, whatever you want to say. The Shomer HaRuach Shena Yotzei Mimenu, and yet it keeps the spirit, of course, in this case being the Neshama, right? That the Neshama does not leave us. Right, so even though, you know, we have a mouth and we have other parts of the body that are openings, but nevertheless we don't lose anything. So this is part of the marvels of God's creation. That's the reason why the bracha is Rofei Kol Basar. First of all, we pray to God who heals all human, all flesh, literally, all human beings. Umafli Lassos and those wonderful things. All right. Now, the next Tosfos over there is Ki Shoma Kol Tarnigol, right?
Yeah.
When he hears the sound of the rooster, so Omer, then he makes the following bracha, Boruch Shenosa Masechi Vino Lahapin, right? We praise God who gave the rooster the understanding to be able to distinguish, of course, Lapkin Ben Yom Ben Laila, that's the bracha, right?
Between
day and night. So now the question is, what if you don't hear the rooster? So he says, "Vuhu adin apilu kilay shama." He says, and the din is that even though you haven't heard a rooster, nevertheless you still have to make the bracha. The ain bracha zu ela habchono, because the purpose of this bracha is not to praise the rooster. That's not what it's there for. It's there in order to thank God for our ability, the Habchana, okay? That we are able to distinguish Al Hanoas Ha'ora, the enjoyment that we have in seeing light, right? Shetanagol Mavchin, which the rooster also, you know, enjoys, and he can distinguish. He also enjoys the light. So just as the rooster does, so do we. But it's not dependent on, you know, the fact that it's a rooster. So this is the reason why we say it in the brachas. Okay. Oi. Looks like I'm slightly hoarse tonight. Okay.
Take a candy.
Yeah, I took a candy already, but it disappears too quickly. All right, so now we continue with more of these brachas that we say. Then we're on the Samach Omid Beis. Okay?
Yeah, I got that.
Good. All right. So, continuing with different actions, each of them calling forth for a bracha. This is the major theme of the next few lines over here. All right? So he starts in by saying as follows. Ki posachene, when he opens his eyes, as we already said that last week, and we heard it recorded, so lemo, then he has to make the bracha, boruch pekechem, right? We thank God who gives sight to the blind. Ki toritz v'yasiv, then when he sits up, and of course remember what we mean by sitting up, where is the person? You have to picture in mind that what they're saying over here is, here you've been in bed all night. Remember we learned that just previous to this, we had, what bracha do you say when you go to sleep at night, and what bracha do you say when you wake up in the morning, right? So we see that in the morning you say L'chaim Yitzor. Right. And that's the reason why after saying this bracha, we immediately follow them with the next group of brachas that we have. Although I just want to point out, in the Siddur we also have prior to that, brachas that we had a long, long time ago, namely the brachas of the Torah. And we saw over there that there was a discussion, there was different points as to what is the proper bracha to make. So one of them said that you have to make a bracha, Asher Lishon Tzitzov Tzivonu La'atzek B'divrei Sova, right? And then another one follows it, with the prayer of Aharet, Noah Hashem Elokeinu Tzivrei Serozcha B'finu. In other words, we pray to God that the words of the Torah should be sweet unto us. And then, of course, we conclude our bracha, right? That's the way that bracha ends, right? So already we have two different brachas, okay? One is La'asek B'divrei Torah, the next one is Hamlamei Torah L'Am Yisrael, preceded by Vaharet Non. And then the third Chochem came along, and third, what did he suggest? Shevuch HaBonim because of Avi V'Nosan and so on. And so of course, what do we do?
Say all of them.
We say all of them, exactly. Precisely what they do. But since we have already mentioned words of Torah, so therefore this is the reason why we then include some teachings of Torah prior to these brachas that we say. What are the teachings of Torah? Well, one of them is of course the fact that Yivarechecho, right. Because that after all comes from the Torah, and then Elu Dvorim, which is a Mishnah, and then the first part this is a Mishnah. Then after that, this is a Gemara, right. Okay? So that we have a chance to do at least a tiny amount of learning, having made the bracha for learning Torah. Then after that, we have a L'chaim Yitzor, which as we saw, was the suggestion that this is a bracha that we should say as we wake up in the morning, and we're happy to be alive, and that's why we praise God, right? We say, God, Baruch Ato Hashem. having a little difficulty in speaking.
Yes. Well, was these brachas intended to be said in the minyan or at home?
They're meant to be said at home. It's a good question that you asked. Amachazir Neshamos, okay, we praise God who restores the neshamas, Lefgorim Mason, to literally to dead bodies. Now, there's really a double meaning in this particular bracha, I want to point out. Meaning number one, obviously, is the fact that we say to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the day will come when you will take our neshama from us, but ator silach zira mimena, right? You're going to restore it once more to me, in other words, tchiyas ha-mesen. So that this is a bracha for tchiyas ha-mesen. But at the same time, there's also the general feeling that has been expressed by many that, for example, when you fall asleep at night, particularly if you have a good night's sleep, not like me, unfortunately, but if you have a good night's sleep, it's almost as if, you know, you were sleeping the sleep of the just. It's as if your neshama decided to go up to the Rebbeinu Shleilim, pay a visit over there, and then we thank God, you know, that he restores the neshama to us when we wake up in the morning. All right, so to get back to what Irv had to say, the whole sequence over here is actually what we should say at the moment of rising, at the moment of waking, right? And then, because it is daylight, that's why, what bracha do we make? Right? Okay, then he says, so what's the next bracha that you make? Since we are open our eyes, so we say, now we come to the next bracha that he says we should say, and that is that when you sit up, and presumably it means sitting up in bed, okay? So in that particular case, you see it goes with an order over here, okay? So the bracha is, yes. All right, so Kitoritz Miyosef, in other words, when he sits up, then Lemor, he makes the bracha, Baruch, Ator Hashem Lekevachlom, Ater Asum, blessed be thou, O God, who frees those who are bound. Literally, he loosens, you know, the bonds of those who are bound. Okay, because the fact that you can stir, you're not like bound to the bed, so to speak, right?
Mm.
But you can get up now, and you can begin moving and so on. This is an act of freedom. And so therefore, Mater Asurim is praising God for the freedom of motion, for the freedom of movement that we have.
But there are brachas that come before Mater Asurim, right?
Yes, this is absolutely right. They're not mentioned over here.
Okay.
All right, as you can see, that when it came time to put together the brachas and the siddur, so then they added brachas from other areas as well. Okay, Shalei Sani Goy, Shalei Sani Yovi, Shalei Sani Yisha.
So then
what a woman has to say, Shalei Sani Kirtzono. Okay. And even here, this is not an exhaustive list, but as you can see, the theme over here is that for every action, it is a moment of praise to God. Every action that we have, as we saw, even to go into the bathroom is also an occasion, you know, to praise God. If you remember, we learned at the top of the page, you know, that you have, when you go to the bathroom, you have this iskabdu malochim, right? Iskabdu kadoshim, and so on. That you pray that you hope that the malochim who accompany you and watch over you, you know, will take a moment out and not leave you, you know, at the time when you have to go, because as the last opinion said, we're only doing what the Rebbeinu Shalom created us in order to do. So that in itself, you see, is almost like an act of godliness, even though, you know, to us we associate it with you know, with schmutz and everything else, but nevertheless we praise God for the fact that we can function as human beings are meant to function. No question about that. So these are all actions then that call forth praise to God. Kilovish, when he dresses, so Lema Baruch Malbish Harubim, then he has to make the bracha, blessed art thou, O Lord of God, right, who clothes the naked. Now we have to understand something else too. We take it, of course, in the sense of, sort of figuratively, right? Person doesn't have clothing, you know, he can't afford clothing, so nevertheless he's provided with garments, right? So it's Malbish HaRubin. But actually we learned way back, there was a question about when you go to bed whether touching is considered modest or immodest, you know, and we learned over there that, for example, if you touch, I don't know if you remember, it's way back,
remember? touching
with the buttocks,
right.
It's not considered immodest, okay? Whereas, you know, touching the front, this would be considered immodest.
You're talking about touching somebody else in bed with you.
A husband and wife, or you have somebody else in bed with you, exactly. Yeah. Why? Because in those days, they had so few garments to their name. it may be that the one cloak that they had to use it 7 days a week, you know.
They took it off.
So they would take it off at night in order to go into bed. So that this is even more so than that Malbish HaRumin then praises God for the actual fact that thank God that I have a garment that I can
put on
and clothe my nakedness. Kizaki, and then when he stretches up, he straightens up, then Lema, he makes the bracha, Baruch HaTor Hashem L'Kevotlom, Zokev Kaput. We thank God who causes those who are bowed down to become erect. Okay? Kinochas Liara, and then when he goes down on the ground, in other words, he puts his foot down on the ground, Lema, then he makes the following bracha, Baruch HaTor Hashem L'Kevotlom, Roka Horat Alamoyim. We praise God who has spread the earth over the water. If you remember in the act of creation, everything first was water, was fluid, right? And then after that, God made a distinction between the water above, the water below. Eventually he created Yabosha, the dry land, on which we are able to step. So therefore, again, we praise God for the act of the creation of the ground upon which we can stand. Kibaske, and then when he walks, so Lema makes the bracha, Baruch HaTor Hashem L'Kolom HaMeichin Mitzadei Gomer. We praise God who has literally prepared the footsteps of a human being. In other words, he has given us the opportunity to walk. Kisiyim Mitzadei, and then when he ties his shoes, so Leimod, he makes the following bracha, Baruch HaTor Hashem L'Kiduk Olam, Shayosu L'Ikot Tzokim. We praise God who has taken care of all my needs. Because, obviously, a pair of shoes is something also to be thankful for. I mean, for us, we take these things for granted, you know. But in those days, very often, all my mom didn't have a pair of shoes to his name. And so, therefore, if he has a pair of shoes, so he's grateful to God that God has taken care of all his needs, including this. Ki yosahem yodei.
This bracha on, you skip that bracha on.
There are those who skip it on Tisha B'Av. Correct. Yeah, there are those who skip it, rightly or wrongly. The truth of the matter is that it's already going to an extreme. I'll be honest with you, Bob. But it's true. I mean, if you take a look at this one that we have over there, a couple of brachas that he sort of leaves out and then he gets back to it afterwards. The other bracha that he leaves out is Oto Yisrael Tzipora. I'll come to that in a moment. Okay?
But
that
doesn't mean
we
shouldn't be leaving out, even though
you're not wearing leather shoes. You're wearing something and it's your own.
That's
because we do. Yeah. Correct.
No,
so why shouldn't we leave it out? Yeah. We don't leave it out. I mean, in this show we say it. But it's true that there are those who have the custom of leaving it out. Precisely because this is associated with the idea of putting on, you know, wearing shoes. Mm-hmm. But you're right, I mean, we're wearing sneakers. There are some of the authorities, you know, who said it's not right, I mean, to wear sneakers, because the idea is in order to feel, you know, like
state of mourning.
In New Year's, state of mourning and so on. And when we put on the sneakers, it gives our feet support. It's not exactly the same feeling, you see. But look, we don't have to be machmir and everything. Thank God, I mean, that we have, you know, the ability
to
interpret things right. We have to have a little moderation. Exactly. And we say the bracha on the Shabbat. Okay. Next. Kim Ate Aya. Whoa, I skipped one. All right. Yeah. All right, so first of all, Kiyosam Yone, right, when he literally he ties his girdle on. Today, I mean, the belt that the person wears would correspond to that. So, when you buckle your belt, so to speak, all right, then Lemo, you make the bracha, Baruch, Ator Hashem Kemukalom, Ozer Yisrael Bikur. Blessed art thou, Lord, who girds people of Israel with strength. Okay? Kiporis Sudra al Reshe, when he puts a covering on his head, because presumably at night when they slept, I mean, I know that there are people who sleep with yarmulkes on all through the night too, but you're not actually required to wear a yarmulke all night long, I mean, when you're asleep, okay? So, when he puts his covering, his head covering, on his head, Leimlo, he makes the bracha, Baruch Ator Hashem, Lekin Baruch Olam, Oter Yisrael Psifor, praise God, who makes Israel glorious with his glory, with his beauty, and so on. Now, there are those, you know, the question that Bob brought up before, who associate Ote Yisrael Sephora not with what the Gemara here says, namely that was simply whenever we put the covering on our head, and obviously from this we can see that it was considered a great thing to put it on. It's not actually required by Jewish law, but it is required because of the fact that it's considered a minhag chasidus, that, you know, for us it's an act of piety to keep our head covered. So that therefore, how can we keep our head covered if we don't put a covering on our head? So that therefore, this too calls for bracha. But there are those who see in this bracha, Ote Yisrael Sephora, they see in it a reference to the tefillin shel Rosh. Why? Because Oter is from the word Ateris, which means crown. Okay? So Ote Yisrael means that God crowns us with glory. And what is the crown of glory that every Jew wears on his head? The answer is it's tefillin shel Rosh. And of course there's a pasuk that we learned in the Chumash Vayikra, the Chumash Devarim, Vero kol am ha'aretz, that all the nations of the earth will see that God is with you, right? Beyond the Mecca. And, you know, they will have respect for you. So that this is, the Gemara says that this is not over here, but in a different place, the Gemara says this is in the Tefillin shel Rosh. Because, as I pointed out once or twice, there is a difference between the Tefillin shel Yad and the Tefillin shel Rosh. I'm not talking now about the physical difference between them. That we know, I mean, that you can see easily that the tefillin shel Rosh has four different portions. It has a shin on each side, including a four-headed shin, and so on and so forth. And incidentally, it's considered, therefore, also the holier of the two, of the pair of tefillin, whereas the tefillin shel Yad is plain. But there's a difference also. The tefillin shel Yad, strictly speaking, this should be covered. Whether with your shirt, with your talus, whatever they be, the sleeve, this should be covered. Whereas this should be open to everybody to see, based on the interpretation, as I said, that Oter Yisrael Sephora, this refers to the tefillin shel Rosh. Okay? It's based upon, you know, Yule Totof, Shaltom Neos, Al. Yod Kho, actually, is it don't forget, I mean, it's a similar one. But Yod Kho, they say, this means your own hand. In other words, you keep it, so to speak, to yourself, okay?
Mm.
Whereas Bein Einecha, obviously, this is, everybody can see it. That's not hidden, okay? All right. Anyway, continuing over here. All right. When he wraps himself around with his fringes, then Lemoy makes the bracha Baruch Hashem Kenu Asher Rishon B'Seisav V'Tivado Litzati Batzitz. Right? We praise God who sanctified us with His commandments, commanded us to wrap ourselves around with the fringes. Okay. Of course, since we wear two different garments with tzitzis,